This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The Aryan Brotherhood is also known as The Brand, or AB. It's a white supremacist prison gang and organized crime syndicate that strikes fear into virtually all who cross them. It's been said that there's somewhere between 1,000 and 10,000 members. They make up about 1% of the prison population, but they're responsible for up to 30% of the murders in the federal prison system. It's now been reported that the Aryan Brotherhood is in chaos after a federal law enforcement sweep that took down many of the organization's leaders. The resulting court documents have given us a view into this hidden world of violence, drug running, extortion, racketeering, prostitution, and murder for hire, but more importantly, how the Aryan Brotherhood maintained discipline within its own ranks using almost medieval-like torture practices. Reporter Dane Schiller wrote about this recently for the Houston Chronicle. And Dane, welcome back to The Source.
Hi, thanks.
And we invite the listeners to call in if you got questions or comments, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. So Dane Schiller, the name of the operation that took down the Aryan Brotherhood was Operation Wheel Containment. And what does that mean?
Well, there's something known as the Wheel. That's at the head of the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas. There are five generals, each of them with a region of the state. And if you sort of, they're like a wheel in how they're formed, in that, I guess, lets the whole organization move. So with this operation, the federal authorities are saying we're putting that wheel in its place.
So it was. This is their organization, organized as a wheel, but it was also a paramilitary organization that you write.
Yes, each general, they have majors working for them, captains, there's people that are known as soldiers, very much, and it's like the military in that orders are absolute. These are quite different orders, but you must obey them no matter what. And there's a twist. If you don't obey them, then they can mark you for death, and that's what the Constitution calls for in the organization.
Talk about how they mark their members for death. I mean, it seems that's how you maintain discipline, but it's also that's a high penalty.
Sure. It was interesting to me that they realize, it seems, that killing is bad for business. Like when they're doing their business, it's bad to kill people, but they are not willing to sacrifice order within the ranks. In other words, time and time again, they go after their own that have broken the rules. And literally, the people that are sent out to do the deed, they're told, if you don't do it, you're next. One guy, he was actually ordered to kill his best friend. And it was like, look, you got to do it or you're next. And he carried it out. And they go to all manner of doing it, all kinds of barbaric things.
In your piece, you open up with the scene of one of the members, Albert Parker, and he has the tattoo of the patch for the Aryan Brotherhood on his rib cage, and he apparently stepped out of line so far that they were going to remove that out of his flesh, and they took it with a blowtorch. And this is a graphic example of how violent they can be.
Yes, and Parker seemed to be an old-time criminal, and you got to remember, these guys are in and out of prisons all over the place, jails. They don't even all know each other, and you get out in a certain part of the state, and you're supposed to report to your local boss, and this guy Parker, he didn't know this person who was giving him orders, and he was like, well, hold on now, who put you in charge? And he said that to the wrong guy, and next thing you know, they're dragging Mr. Parker out in the countryside, and they're burning the gang patch off of his body, and they really kicked him in the head over and over and over and over again. So the burning was a big problem for him, but his brain was also quite damaged.
But he survived.
He did survive. They left him off on the roadside, and he crawled along there, and someone who thought he was a wounded animal spotted him when the sun came up, and he lived for that, and he was treated as a victim by the authorities, so he talked to them as a victim. He wasn't ratting out the gang, but this is what had happened to him. And then years later, another up-and-comer stabs him to death. So ultimately, the order to kill was carried out, if not by one generation, by the next. You can't cancel it.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question for or comment for Dane Schiller, a Houston Chronicle reporter, writes about the Aryan Brotherhood and other grisly topics, call in 210-614-8980. And Rodolfo is on the line. And Rodolfo, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for getting my call. So I actually had a quick question. I understand that the Aryan Brotherhood had also an alliance with the Mexican Mafia. I want to see what kind of relationship, even though this was kind of a white supremacist or white, brotherhood, how it ended up having an alliance with the Mexican Mafia and who was a target. That was my question, and thank you for getting my call.
All right, Rodolfo, thanks for the call. So, Dane.
Sure. Okay, what happens is, while this is a quote-unquote white supremacist organization in that they use that as a rallying cry, like we're a bunch of white guys in prison, let's get together so we can protect ourselves. But what they're really far more about is, as we say, is they're about the green. And we've seen repeatedly that they'll do business with gang members of other races in order to make money. And when it comes to drugs these days, if you're not connected to an organization that has a first-hand relationships with Mexico, you're out of business. So they realize they've got to get along with those guys. And what I found surprising in this investigation was that none of these guys were charged with hate crimes. We know the rhetoric that they spout. We see the tattoos that they wear that can be quite offensive. But they're just not doing that so much. They're not going after people based on their race. Now, maybe inside of prison walls, they're very divided, and maybe that's a very hot topic. But in the streets, they're just not doing that.
There's a difference between a white supremacist and white separatist.
Sure. And what these guys are, you'll find all of them within the organization. I think most of them wouldn't even know the difference or be able to tell you very much about either one. But they'll be able to say that we're white guys and we're standing together and this is we're taking care of each other, and that's about it. But repeatedly, we didn't come across them talking and plotting and scheming against other races. It was literally, if it's good for business, we're going to do it.
When we had this story about the banditos after the shootout in Waco, we heard the part of the post-story breakdown was like, well, there are good banditos and bad banditos. Is that the case with the Aryan Brotherhood?
I wouldn't characterize it like that, but I see that, like with any other group, they run the spectrum as to why they do what they do. There was one guy who is now whisked away in a form of witness protection who said that the gang, he was a general, and he informed against the gang, and he said, look, you guys have changed how you're doing business. You're killing each other. You're doing all these violence on women. I can't be part of this anymore. We've just completely changed what we're supposed to be about. Right. And now he has a threat of death over him for the rest of his life.
Okay, I'm going to take I'm going to cut off right there. We're going to take a quick break, a 1 minute break. We're going to continue the conversation talking about the Aryan Brotherhood. Is the group now in chaos? Call in 210-614-8980. This is The Source. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Aryan Brotherhood with reporter Dane Schiller from the Houston Chronicle. The Aryan Brotherhood demands membership for life and vows to punish betrayal with death. Most often retaliates against those who have broken rules or are suspected of being informants. That's according to numerous court files, which makes it so interesting that finally, Dane, that the law enforcement was able to get into crack the Aryan Brotherhood, and how did they do that?
Well, the way they did it was, to bring it full circle to what you said about banditos, they were looking, I think they were looking for an organization to take down. And they came across a guy who happened to know, they were talking about the banditos, you know them, tell us about them. And he said, well, yeah, I know some of them, but I also know about this other group. And he mentioned a general that he knew by name, and he sort of directed agents over that way. And they said, huh, well, let's look at these guys. And they put that together with some other informants. And the key was this, catching convicted felons with firearms. You can't have them. You're automatically looking at heavy prison time. And the guys, they would just flip and say, okay, I don't want to go away for 15 years. What do you want to know? And then they just sort of built their pieces. And It wasn't like one of those cases where everything's like about fingerprints and this and that. This was literally people cooperating. They took themselves down.
So they were able to build a network of snitches within the organization of the Aryan Brotherhood, but and it's left them in chaos, absolute chaos. That's the quote you have from the Department of Justice organized crime lawyer who spearheaded the prosecution. So what does that mean that they're in chaos? I mean, this sounds like a very formidable organization.
Sure. One thing's for sure, they're not going away. I think they've been knocked on the knee for right now, but they are not going away. They're in chaos, they say, because right now their leaders have been distributed around the country. They're no longer in Texas cell blocks. They're all over. Some of them have become government informants, which is an incredibly poor example for the ranks. Foot soldiers have also cooperated. Nobody knows top to bottom who they can trust. Who is a snitch? Who's an informant? They don't know which telephones are being listened to. They don't know which online communications have been compromised. I believe agents when they tell me they know more about the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas these days than they know about themselves.
And that's easy because the Aryan Brotherhood they're so compartmentalized. Many of these people have never met each other because they've spent so much time locked up.
That is true. Some of them have never been in the same room together, and that makes it a very unique type of crime syndicate. They don't know each other face to face. In some cases, they might not even know each other's voices, but they've been able to operate. Things move slower, although it can go off in a flash. Things seem to move slower in that organization as things go through the mail, messengers bring word, you know, someone will visit a prison, that sort of thing. It's almost in slow motion compared to our life out here sometimes.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join our conversation as we talk about the Aryan Brotherhood and the state that it's in today post this sweeping federal investigation, Operations Wheel Containment, 210-614-8980. Amanda has called in. Amanda, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Great.
I just wanted to point out that there is no guarantees. I think that there's a misconception that people are safer when they're locked up. This is a huge misconception because you are definitely more in a primal environment, and you are prey. You're a dollar sign. It's been going on for ages. The feds are, everybody's crooked. There has to be one hand on one side for another hand on the other, and it's just the same as I think, you know, the Mexican mafia and everything else. It's dangerous and it's primal, and they can they do whatever they want. And you are just a part of it or you die. I mean, I kind of think it's that simple.
And Amanda, do you have firsthand knowledge of any of this?
I've seen enough, and I lived in San Antonio for a long time, and I've seen the way that the game is played, and everything is a dollar fixture, and people sell out. And I think that even in California, they had an entire situation where a gang had taken over the entire town, literally, and had coerced judges and lawyers to not be a part of their criminalization, and they literally took over the town. Finally, they took the main guy down, but it's even worse in jail. I mean, I think that, you know, right. You see pictures and stuff, and they have more than they would even on the outside.
Okay, Amanda, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. So Dane Schiller, reporter for the Houston Chronicle, were the Aryan Brotherhood, was there violence in their crime? Was it just limited to people within their sphere? Did this impact civilians, people who didn't participate at that level?
Well, they'd done things in the past, definitely, that impacted some civilians. There have been some very horrible crimes in our area, but in this federal investigation, they stayed tight and focused, and it was their own people over and over and over were their victims. And I think they did that because it was easy for them to show that was a crime of violence done in furtherance of a criminal organization. So they were checking off the boxes to get these guys as much time in prison as possible. The perhaps most infamous crime here was about 2006, a longshoreman. Had nothing to do with nothing. He was at a Walmart. I believe he was getting some fishing gear. He was going to go down to the water on his day off. And these guys saw him, and he had a 14-year-old pickup, and they were under orders from their captain to get parts for his pickup. That was that exact same year. to this man that had, like I say, nothing to do with anything. They kidnapped him, took him out in Liberty County, took away his clothes, sliced his throat, and left him and took his truck. And they definitely lash out at civilians and do horrible things. Again, this case, with all their victims were their own.
We had a caller, Dane, who left a message. They wanted to know if there were any law enforcement complicit and charged in this federal sweep.
There were no law enforcement personnel charged in this particular sweep, but you can draw the diagram out and you can say to yourself, one of the crimes was a general in the gang was using a cell phone from his cell in TDCJ, his administrative segregation cell, which is a one-person high-security thing where he's not supposed to get anything. Somebody smuggled a cell phone into him, and that had to have spurred an investigation. We've seen that repeatedly. They are enabled inside of prison because of corruption. Now, will there be other indictments someday? I don't know. There were none in this.
And I've seen you write about how some of these accounts, these attacks, were used for television episodes, Sons of Anarchy. We also know about how the Aryan Brotherhood is portrayed in Breaking Bad. Are those appropriate representations? Do they Hollywood up these guys, or are they make them look tougher than they actually are?
I wouldn't be familiar enough with what they're doing out in Hollywood, but from what I've seen and read and the people I've talked to, these guys are doing it, for lack of a better way to put it, it's better than something you could make up. I mean, they're doing really hardcore things, and truth sometimes is better than fiction.
And so I'm seeing numbers all over the place in regards to how widespread the Aryan Brotherhood is. You have between 1,000, 2,000. I've seen reports that say there could be about 10,000 members. I mean, how come we are not able to nail that down?
Well, one, I think some people confuse the Aryan Brotherhood out in California with the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas. And there may be some people, even in the criminal world, thinking that they are one and the same. So when you peel that apart, I can tell you that it's very hard for authorities to know how many are on the outside, but they know exactly how many are in the inside, and they track them, and they have databases, and they can move these guys around in the prison system. But then it is an underworld, and they're not carrying membership cards. I guess they do have their tattoos, but I guess part of the reason they survive is because we really don't know everything. But I think from the sources I've spoken to repeatedly, I think these guys have maxed out at no more than 2,000 in Texas.
And that, but they're in prison now, and that seems like, throwing the rabbit in the briar patch. That's where they flourish.
I made that point, brought it up repeatedly, and said, what good does it do? These guys are rock stars in prison. They're basically born in prison. How much does it hurt them? And then you can see what they can do to them. First, they can distribute them around the United States, take them out of Texas. So it's harder for their family to visit them. They have fewer members, fewer friends. They're somebody in Texas. They're maybe not really somebody when they get pushed out and around. The federal government can put further limits on their ability to communicate via mail and phone calls, can give you, one phone call a month. I believe things are much more monitored, and you're going to do longer stretches. In TDCJ, you may get out in 5 or 6 years or more, depending on your crime. But in the federal government, I mean, you could get 20, 30, 40 years, and you're going away. And there's no parole. And I think that really scares some folks.
So the members of the Brotherhood who are not in church or not inside prison, they're expected to go to church. And we don't mean, going to a house of worship. These are like meetings that so what's happening there?
If you didn't know who they were and you went into some bar, you might not, the guys might be back in the corner there. They're not going to let you in the area where they are, but they just look like a bunch of guys hanging out, having some drinks or whatever. You really wouldn't recognize them once their hair grows out. They're doing their thing. They might look a little shady, but you wouldn't realize, oh, that's a gang having a meeting. That's the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas having a meeting. But they go there, and they may be expected to know something from the Constitution. They'll definitely be required to pay dues. They're supposed to fess up to some crimes that they've committed to where they share their some of their proceeds with the organization. It goes to help some of the guys that are inside, that sort of thing. So in many ways, it's just like a normal club, and in other ways, there's this total dark undercurrent to it. I've seen situations in this investigation where somebody will be pulled out of the meeting and severely beaten. I mean, beaten by everybody who's present because they broke one of the rules. Or they'll tell them, hey, we need to talk to you afterward. And they'll take them out in the countryside. And that'll be their last car ride.
So they're collecting dues. They're collecting money. If someone is doing drugs in their territory, or selling drugs, they expect to get a taste of that. So they're collecting revenue. Where's that money going?
I don't know for sure. I believe it goes to fund the members that are inside. I believe it goes to help the higher-ups, your generals and things. They need some, you know, they need money in their commissary accounts. They need money so they can get their food and snacks and other items while they're inside. Maybe it's buying a pair of sneakers. But I couldn't say for sure what happens with it all.
And so there's paranoia running rampant within the ranks of the Aryan Brotherhood. But we've seen this before with other gangs that have been hit by law enforcement. They figure out a way to reestablish themselves. And you think that's what's going to happen with the Aryan Brotherhood?
I believe it eventually, yes, it will reestablish itself and it will continue on. But 73 people right now learned that can be painful. And it's we'll see what the next generation brings.
And also that leaves a lot of business on the table, a lot of territory exposed. Who's going to snap that up?
I think everybody's realized that they've got to play nice with the organizations that have ties to Mexico.
Okay.
As far as what's going to happen down on the ground with this guy and the places they operate and who they sell to, I just don't know.
Dane Schillert, Houston Chronicle, thank you so much. Aryan Brotherhood update. This is The Source on KSTX. Back after this.